So Romans 5, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Let me pray. Father, would you hide your word in our hearts this morning and allow it to transform us as we remember that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Well, look, Impact Blueprint, it is awesome to have you with us this morning. We're really pleased that you could join us. I'm going to tell you the story as we reflect on those verses. But the story of this guy, his name is Gavin Dixon, alive and well. I'll tell you the end from the beginning so you're not worried, and a wonderful man. Gavin grew up, not around here, but up in Scotland. But he would say himself he had a very difficult childhood. He was small for his age, a skinny boy. He was bullied at school. And home life was really unpleasant for Gavin. He watched his dad hurt his mum as he grew up, until eventually his dad left home. Gavin had a tough time as a boy, but he was brave. And as he grew up, he knew he wanted to help people. And so at the age of 16, he left school. But not just school, like his cousin before him, he left home. And he went off to join the army. He joined the Scots Guards. It's an infantry unit. And when he arrived for training, he realized afresh just how tiny he was. The rucksack he was given at training wouldn't even stay on his back because his shoulders were so narrow the straps kept falling off. But Gavin wouldn't give up. He kept going. He wanted to be the best soldier he could be. After his training, he moved to London and he joined the Queen's Guardsmen. Have you been to London to see the soldiers guarding the Queen? For her birthday, they perform the Trooping of the Colour. And that's what he was involved in. But as well as all the ceremonies for Gavin, he was kept training hard, preparing for war. Eventually, his time in London came to an end and he was moved to Germany. And with the other Scots Guards and his company, he was trained to operate the warrior armoured vehicles. And he lived in Germany for 6 years. He says it was the first time he knew some stability in life. While he was growing into a good soldier, there was a downside though. He wasn't becoming a good man. In his own words, "I was never the most moral of people," he wrote. He visited brothels. He drank each weekend beer until he was so drunk he would pass out in the street. But then came the first Iraq war, and Gavin was sent off. In fact, he did 2 tours of Iraq with the Scots Guards. The second time in Iraq, the second tour, Gavin says, was particularly challenging. Insurgents placed IEDs, those are kind of hidden bombs along the roads that the army used. Every journey was fraught with danger. The fighting was sometimes fierce. Gavin says that we were surrounded by death. In fact, some of Gavin's friends died in that war. But he said this: "At that time, I was not really thinking about what would have happened to me if I had died." After Iraq, Gavin was posted to Canada, and then finally back to his home of Lanark in Scotland with a new Canadian girlfriend, a lady called Alison. And it was Alison who spotted a flyer in the local library, a flyer for Starbucks coffee. Now, there wasn't a Starbucks at that time in Lanark, and so she was intrigued. Who on earth was offering free Starbucks coffee? She told Gavin about it, and it was only as they looked at the advert a little more closely, they saw it was a local church who were offering the drink. And so Gavin and Alison went along to the church, they drank their Starbucks coffee, they met the people, and they began to listen to what was being said. These are Gavin's own words. "Now, you will have guessed that church and God didn't exactly figure in my life. The odd instances that faith or the Bible crossed my mind were rare. As a child, I sometimes attended the Christmas Eve service with my family or just with my mother, but it was only for show, and often we would leave to go home early. As a young soldier, there were other occasions when I had some religious experience. When I was about 16 or 17, and in London, I would often go down to St. Paul's Cathedral just to sit there. It gave me a real sense of peace, but inside my heart, I was a very angry young man, very angry. Apart from this, I had very little to do with God, faith, and the Bible. While not religious, though, I thought of myself as good and did not really see myself as a sinner." But all of that would change for Gavin. Gavin and Alison would keep going back to the church each Sunday. They made friends, they got to know the pastor and his wife, Michael and Esther. And each week, Gavin would arrive with tough questions that he was sure would stump the minister. Why is there suffering in the world? Who is this guy Jesus? Why did he come at all? And slowly, week by week, the minister of the church opened up the Bible and showed Gavin the answers. And then one week things came to a head, not through the minister, but actually his wife, Esther, who took Gavin to one side and said, "Look, Gavin, you're a sinner and you need to ask God to forgive you. Come to him, repent and be saved." She was very direct with Gavin. Perhaps you might think she was a bit blunt, but by then she knew Gavin and Alison well and her words were full of gospel love. Do you remember those words that Dawn read to us from Romans 5? "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That's what Gavin had to realize. It's where we all need to begin. Not with thoughts of our goodness or how spiritually successful we are, but we begin with a confession of our badness, if I can put it like that, our spiritual failure. "The sick who need a doctor," says Jesus. And it's those who know that they are, well, in the words of the Apostle Paul, it's those who know they are ungodly. It's those people who know they need a saviour. The saviour, Jesus Christ. Gavin had lived an amazing life of courage and sacrifice up to that point in that church in Lanark in Scotland. Most soldiers do, don't they? We remember their courage and their sacrifice this morning. In the very next verse that Dawn read to us, the Apostle Paul speaks of such courage. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die." Gavin, like all those he served with, was a courageous man. But as he looked at the Bible, as he asked the church those questions, he came to see that he wasn't a godly man. He had to learn to accept, he had to confess for himself that sin had corrupted every part of him. He wasn't as bad as he might have been, but every part of him was bad. And Esther's words that day stayed with Gavin. Let me read Gavin's writing again as we reflect on that experience. "That day I joined in with the refreshments after the church service, but straight away I had to leave to get back in time to the garrison at Catterick. It was a long drive, so I had plenty of time to think about what I had heard. Just around Penrith, I turned the radio off. Not being what you might call an expert in prayer, I prayed as simply and as best I could. If this dude," meaning Jesus, "really did these things for me, then I need to know him. And although I didn't really know the right words to say, I was being genuine, and I was sure that God knew that. That day was hugely significant for Gavin. Gavin had to learn for himself from the Bible, with the help of the church, that he was ungodly. But that wasn't the end of the story. God doesn't leave Gavin or you or I in our selfishness and foolishness. No, God's love is greater than even the fullness of our sin. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Father loves the rebels like you and me so much that he sent his Son to die in their place that they might live. That's the wonder of the Christian gospel. It's a message of love and salvation. It's a message we celebrate this and every Sunday morning. That car journey changed Gavin's life forever. He asked God to forgive him. He put his trust in Jesus Christ for his salvation. And in Gavin's words, wonderfully and miraculously, I knew at that moment I had become a Christian. I was truly sorry for my rotten sin. God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within me, and my heart, the real me, was changed. This new relationship with God was so real. So real, in fact, that Gavin remained in the services and was called to serve in Afghanistan in 2010. And his faith, his new faith, changed his whole approach to combat operations. These are Gavin's words again. All the way through the tour, I tried to be the lead person or in the lead vehicle because I knew from God's word where I was going if I died. Because of that day in the car when I trusted Jesus as my personal saviour, so when my life ends on this earth, in whatever way, I am sure that I will go straight to be with God in heaven. However, most of my team, my platoon and my company didn't know who Jesus was. I was ready to die, but I knew that many others were unprepared. So I went first. Thankfully, God spared Gavin through his tours of service. And Gavin now serves as the scripture reader and chaplain in the Edinburgh garrison, preparing men and women to face not only life, but death with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're interested, I can give you this little booklet at the end of the service that summarizes a bit more of his story. Or if you want to Google it, you can find out more in the Evangelical Times, who did a little series on Gavin. This Remembrance Sunday, can I ask you what your story is? Can you confess this morning that you are that person that God describes as ungodly? And will you, like Gavin, embrace the love that God has for you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you, with the Apostle Paul, say these words? You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that true of you this morning? I pray that it would be.